You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Only in Wisconsin could two guys spend 2 hours debating politics, Packers, and pizza crust and somehow make it work. It's John and Gordy, serving up fresh talk every morning with that signature Madison flavor. Stay tuned. The John and Gordy Show starts now.
You know it.
WMDX. I forgot the lyrics. Are there? I don't know. 92.7. This is John and Gordy in the morning. Gordy is still out, and Catherine Lake is filling in this morning and doing a fantastic job so far, making sure that I'm doing everything right.
Bossing everybody
around.
It's my default mode, isn't it, Dominic?
Yeah, no, Dom, no, give us a countdown.
Wow. I'm just saying, it's an idea.
It's what we do.
You don't have to always.
Thanks
for letting me be here. I know that Gordy is having fun ice fishing in Portland right now. And I think he actually is going to head back to Chicago today to take care of some business, you know.
Yeah, that's
protesting.
It's a good circuit to make.
Yes.
At this point. Oh, my gosh. You're wearing your Cubs hat this morning.
Oh, I didn't even notice. I just grabbed the first thing
on your way out the door.
Yes.
I get it.
Cubs.
Yeah. My wife, Ann, has the same hat. And we watched the game yesterday on TV. She was driving me a little bit crazy only because, you know, she's watching the broadcast, but she's trying to listen to the guys on the radio because she won't listen to anybody else but the guys
Pat
on the radio.
Pat and Ron.
Yeah, and the timing would be off every once in a while because of the commercial breaks.
Oh.
I don't know why that would be, but anyway.
Technology.
You know, it's like, you know, the TV showing me one game. And I'm listening to another game, basically,
because
could you just sync this up a little bit? Really, seriously, I don't even know what's going on anymore. Just
your
sync
ADD
it up.
Was overacting in your poor little brain.
Exactly.
I cannot do both.
Well, I'm at the dining room table. We can watch the TV from the dining room, and I'm preparing the show. I'm making edits. I'm collecting sound bites.
I'm working, honey.
And I'm listening to that, and then she's got the radio full blast, always. And then the TV is out of sync, and I'm like, I can only be distracted so much, and I'm easily distracted. And she was driving me crazy with this thing. But, you know, it was a good win. I kept telling her that this is all just a game.
The eighth inning.
It's a scam.
This
whole baseball thing. You know, they plan this thing out. You know, Brewers take a lead,
and then all of a sudden,
the Cubs win.
Okay.
Oh, what a big surprise! Keep the series going.
You think someone's taking
all
a dive?
All the advertisers. Yeah,
really?
I'm thinking.
But, oh my goodness!
This is it adds to the intensity, John. It adds to the buildup of, you know, maybe they're going to go all the way. It's going to be a close game, close series.
I'm sure.
You're enabling him in his paranoia.
Yeah,
it's just the Cubs and the Brewers. Are that close in capabilities. Isn't that what it is?
Well, you can say that. But I will say this and hand it to Ann for being completely honest about it.
Your wife
thinks that the Brewers are more talented, a better team.
This year?
Yes.
I think she's probably, in my totally layman's eyes, think she's probably right.
Okay.
Everything I'm seeing and heard.
On paper, they're the best team in baseball.
On paper.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Wow, okay. Mr. Baseball.
Mr. Baseball. You know what I listened to while I was getting up at 4 crack of my butt 30 in the morning?
That's
Can't
too
believe.
Early.
Don't miss these hours at all.
Yeah.
I was listening to WGN.
Ah.
And they air WGN TV overnights instead
of do.
Yeah, they got
That's
rid of
a cool
that.
Idea.
Yeah, it's all right. It works. It's the B team, you know, it's the early morning overnight team.
Well, you got the scoop on what's going on in Chicago then, I would assume.
Yes. It was a lot of that. But part of what I was listening for was, you know, a few years before I left there to come back here, we were purchased by Nexstar. They were purchased by Nexstar.
Oh.
The largest television affiliate.
Yes,
company, largest,
yes.
Greatest number, up there with Sinclair.
Not a big fan of them.
Yep, they're in the news lately, aren't they?
Yes, they have been.
And so I was curious to hear whether or not the television station, because I think the radio station was already towing the line of not being overly critical. Mm-hmm. It's not a liberal, progressive radio station. It's the father of Chicago.
It is.
You know, and it's where everyone goes for their information, period.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering if the Nexstar television station, WGN, had fallen prey to any of Nexstar's things. And I thought, oh, I haven't heard Trump yet, haven't heard Trump yet. And then finally it started to come in.
Mm.
The stories about what was going on there with the National Guard. And I thought, okay, they're being fair. But you're going to talk to Steve Cochran, formerly of WGN Radio, on Monday.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, I think Dom said you've got him booked for Monday. So
all right.
That
yeah,
might be
that
an interesting
good.
Conversation.
Well, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I want to find out more. I want the inside scoop, and Steve is down there, right?
He's still in Chicago. Okay. He's not on the air, of course, because they didn't like that he was talking about Trump so much.
Oh.
Yeah. That's
well, why. I would have a big problem with that.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about him all the time. Sadly, this whole thing in Chicago is unwinding in a very uncomfortable way for, I think, the entire nation, at least I think the entire nation should be on the edge of their chair with what's going on in Chicago. Oddly, isn't it? This takes me back to the 60s, you know?
Seriously. Charlie was there with me last night. We took some photos and got some audio. There'll be stories about it, you'll hear, about the hands-off Chicago protest. We had one here last night in Madison. And one of the signs said,
did.
We love our fibs. And that's fair. But they just want to make sure they know we've got your back.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. But and this isn't really talked about very much. And I'm a little surprised. I brought it up maybe just a few times myself. Not enough. Mm. But I think the president has a paranoia problem. It's a mental disorder of some sort. No one talks about this. But he is so paranoid about everything, and he's been that way for years, and we just go along with it. We think, well, that's just Trump being Trump. We never really think about it, but it's a serious, serious problem now because he thinks everybody's out to get him. He thinks all the cities are burning down and being destroyed by liberal mayors and the governors. It's crazy talk. I mean, this is truly crazy talk. Now, Malcolm Nance has made a few appearances on Stephanie Miller's show, and he's a great guest on that show. But a while back, he wanted to give us a few talking points, you know, and refer to Donald Trump as Mad King Donald. And he hasn't used that since. He's like me. You know, I come up with these great nicknames. And I just
forget.
I can't do nicknames. I can't call people names. But anyway, he came up with that. And I thought, that's a great name. You know, I was going to use it. And I didn't use it either, like him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true. He's a madman. We have to start at least dealing with that. He's seeing things that aren't there. He's seeing fires and cars burning and protesters that are out of control. He's seeing all this stuff that does not exist. I saw a little clip of Kristi Noem on a building top, I believe, in Chicago. And she was scanning the area. You know, and the cameraman was there scanning the area with her, you know, and we're looking down at this madness in Chicago, and there's
flowers.
There's three or four people,
trees,
you know, milling around in the street.
People walking with their dogs.
There's nothing going on. And is this the one where the guy was dressed in some kind of costume out
maybe.
In front?
Yes. Unicorns.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking there's nothing there, and she's scanning. Oh, she's taking in control. This is insane.
Well, I got to push back on you. Slow down now. So you're saying all this is Donald Trump's vision. He's seeing, he's saying,
he's
he
paranoid.
Believes, he's paranoid. You're basing that on what he says, but what...
What
is
he says
being
he sees.
Told? What is he being shown? You know what I mean? He's not going to Chicago and looking at burning cars. That's not happening. He's being told, right? So it's Project 2025. Mm-hmm. I'm almost ready to let Donald Trump off some of the hooks to remind us that he is just a cog.
Well, no, we've said that. He really is just kind of the puppet in front of all of us, and he knows how to fill the space and just talk about nothing really in specific.
Like me.
But, you know, and then he goes after everybody he hates, and that's his full-time job while everything is being run behind him through Russell Vogt, who is taking controls of everything. He has the purse strings. He has he knows Project 2025 inside out.
Yeah, well, I think
they are doing the whole thing. And you know the Insurrection Act.
Now you're laughing.
Everything that's going on right now is an insurrection. You know, they're wearing the word out, and. Everything is an insurrection, not just to wear the word out because of January 6th insurrection. They're trying to, you know, defang that completely. But they also want to do something with the Insurrection Act.
Well and said. They're trying to defang it because of – that's really well said.
Yeah. So then they're going to go and they're going to go and occupy all these cities and states. So they are actually going to do this. And I you know, maybe we just don't want to admit that as people who are on the left, but it's a reality. I called it initially that he was a dictator. Mm-hmm. I mean, once you're a dictator, you are a dictator.
There's no going back. There's no halfway.
No matter how far you are into the dictatorship, you know, all the things he wants to do, initially, that's the dictator.
There you are.
And then he starts down that road, and I called it. But I really think this time he is pitting cities against cities. States against states. This is a civil war. We are going to experience a civil war in this country. And a whole bunch of states are going to be involved in this. And it's going to be truly ugly. And I really wanted to avoid something like this. Mm. You know, as John Peterson, who has control over the entire United States.
Yes, if you were king.
I wish this wasn't happening. And, you know, we talked about this yesterday, Catherine, that I want to keep our sons and daughters out of harm's way on all of this. And that's my motivation. I can't stand seeing this happen again. Gordy and I went through this whole thing in the 60s and 70s. It was a nightmare, truly a nightmare. It was tense.
Was there a split country then? Like this?
No, there wasn't.
Not quite like this.
No. Well, no, the president didn't take these kinds of actions. Close, you know, they didn't call the National Guard out. A few students were shot, definitely. But, it wasn't like this. It wasn't a takeover of cities who were named liberal cities, controlled by liberal mayors and liberal governors. It wasn't like that. This is purely political.
John Peterson. Blood pressure. I feel you.
Okay. All right. I just had to get that.
I get you.
All right. This is WMDX. I'm John Peterson. Catherine Lake filling in for Gordy this morning. We've got more coming up.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
What's trending? What's trending? You can ask me what's trending.
Oh, yeah. What's trending? What's trending?
You can ask me what's trending.
WMDX 92.7. It's John and Gordy in the morning. Don at the controls. Catherine Lake is our special guest this morning. We've got Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils coming up in just a few moments here on the show. And then it's Jim Santel, Amicus Law Review, and we'll see what's going on in the courts at about 7:35.
Yeah, we're getting texts right now, and I want to say hi to Mark in Prairie du Sac, who said, deranged, demented, deluded Donald. Good name. I like that.
Yes.
He also said when Franco brought back King Juan Carlos, he was still a dictator, like you were talking mm-hmm. about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And Gordy Young from Chicago, because he's there, you know, protesting. He has a nerve to text in that I'm not doing my damn job. Filling in for him because I should be doing time checks and weather and things. And I'm just sitting in awe of you instead of doing my job. Sorry, Gordy. Go to sleep, would you? Jeez Louise. It's 43 degrees currently in Madison. We're expecting beautiful mm-hmm. weather today, up to 67. Beautiful fall weather.
It is. Perfect temperatures. Fantastic weather.
The rest of the week looking really nice too. 71 tomorrow, Saturday 66. Clear skies on Saturday, Sunday 68. And no rain expected probably till middle of next week.
Yeah.
Nice. 43 right now in Madison.
Just beautiful. It's fantastic. You know, it was such a nice day yesterday that I managed to reattach the rear view mirror on our Highlander. It fell off.
Fell off and,
you know, it's inside the car. And, you know, the rearview mirror fell off. It came unglued off the windshield. I find it really weird that they glue these things on.
That it could. Right? Yeah, first of all, yeah. But that it could also unglue.
Yeah. Well, it just fell off. The heat or something like that. I don't know why. I mean, this was like maybe.
I'm crying foul, aren't you? Come on.
I feel like there's always something with your cars. There's always something.
Well, this
happened like 2 months ago. We don't use the Highlander very often. It's a 2006, but it's gorgeous. I mean, it's really well taken care of.
6 miles to the gallon?
But no, it's a hybrid too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
We get about 22 miles.
22.
That's
nice.
That's not great.
Nice.
Let me tell you, you know. But the mirror came off, and everybody's been bothering me to put it back on. And before it gets too cold, before you know the surface area doesn't take the epoxy very well, I had to put it on, and I did. I managed to get it on, although it was a little crooked.
No.
You know, it's just a little piece of steel that you glue onto the windshield.
Oh,
and then the mirror slides over over it and attaches that way. Now, you know, it's an adjustable mirror, so it doesn't matter whether the base of it is a little
completely
askew or not.
Right, yeah.
So,
but it looks awesome, I'm sure.
Well, I did it right this time. Now, this is the second time I'm doing it.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those things where sometimes it does break off again, and that's fine.
That's
fine. Just gives me something else to do besides putting in my charging station as well, which, by the way, is next week.
Really?
Yes, next week, Tuesday.
Doesn't time fly when you're waiting for things to happen?
I know, and they're putting speed bumps in front of my house on Monday. Because they heard me talking about how much I hate speed bumps.
Well, they also heard you talking about how much you like to speed.
Yeah.
They want to slow your butt down. Fair
enough.
You
know what? Maybe that's what happened.
You know, and can I ask you a question? I don't know what you have on your agenda. I'm just going to take over here.
Squirrels,
they're suicidal around here. I have never seen so many squirrels diving for my tires as I have this year in Madison.
Diving for your tires?
Yes.
At your home?
No, on the streets leading to and from my home with nut in mouth. Mm-hmm. They all like wait on the side of the road. Here she comes. Let's try now.
Oh, no.
And I'm slamming on the brakes now.
Wow.
Of course, I obey the 25, now nay 20 mile an hour speed limits.
Why
in my neighborhood.
Are you just doing it to irritate people?
Yes.
What the hell? Man.
To avoid squirrels.
God.
There are so many dead squirrels on the road. As many deer as there are on 94, there are
good.
Squirrels on the streets of Madison.
Yeah, I feel bad for them, you know. As much as I hate the damn squirrels, and as much I know that my dog hates the damn squirrels.
Hates or loves?
Power hates them
hates
and wants them.
Them
all out of our yard.
So he's chasing, she's chasing them.
She's chasing them. Yeah.
Up and out,
yeah.
Up the tree, and over you go.
Mostly, and a lot of times she imagines that they're up in the trees. You know, and they love, you know, jumping from one tree to the next, and she follows them.
trying to herd them from the branches.
Yes. And I keep telling her, you can't climb the tree. She's like, you know, up on the tree.
Almost there.
Almost there.
Next time, Papa.
Can't hug it and climb it. Maybe that's the next thing for border collies.
Well,
they learn quickly.
For this border collie, are they allowed at the farmers markets and the, no, not the farmers market, the night market? They are, right?
I don't know.
You got to bring power to the night market next time. Yeah,
yeah,
I want to meet her.
Wow. Okay.
That's a lot to ask.
Like,
I know.
That sounds like a big,
great
big
idea.
Request.
Big request.
A big ask here. But
has she
that
been
would
downtown?
Be Ann. That Ann would have to handle that one.
Has the dog been downtown?
No.
No. Has the dog been off your property?
No.
That's the real question.
The thing is, she is very excitable.
Yes.
And
she'll try to herd the entire city.
When there are a lot
Madison.
Of people around, she can't handle the excitement. Yeah. And if there are other dogs around, she can't handle having other dogs around. No. She just gets overexcited.
We need some CBD for this pup, I think, is what's got to happen.
Actually, we have that.
You do?
Yes, we do.
Does it work? It gets her to sleep?
Yeah, it does. And, well, we don't put her to sleep necessarily.
No,
but
we
calm her down. Oh, jeez.
Why don't you
take some CBD out there for the squirrels there, Catherine?
CBD for everyone.
Here, it's better than the nuts. Yeah, we could do that. Sure.
It's chewy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know what?
Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
Sun rises at 7:04, and sunset tonight is at 6:24.
All right. 6:29 right now.
All right. Well, this is John and Gordy with Catherine Lake, our guest. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. Text us. We want to hear from you.
No more kings.
He's gonna do what the people want.
No more kings.
We're gonna run things our way.
No more kings.
Nobody's gonna tell us what to do.
Rocking and a rolling, swishing and a splashing over the horizon. What can it be? Looks like it's going to be a free country.
WMDX 92.7, it's John and Gordy and Catherine Lake filling in for Gordy this morning. Dom at the controls, and we've got so much to get to.
Oh, my gosh.
In just a moment, Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. But first, Gordy is out there reminding
the
you how to...
Unbelievable. Still.
How to do his part.
Go to sleep. You're in Chicago to protest. I get it. So go protest. But he's saying...
Phone number,
what
website,
is the phone
poll
number?
Question.
Help me out,
what's
Dominic.
Your producer's name?
608.
688?
Yep.
No.
Yeah.
688?
688. That's what it is.
Okay.
9088.
90. That's not our phone number. That is absolutely not our phone number. That's probably the phone number to get to you in the studio or something. That is not what Gordy says. Something
right.
879 talk or.
You guys are looking at me.
I know.
Look, I ask people to text
like
and voice notes.
Gordy, what's the phone number?
I do
number
not
for
give
God
the phone number.
Say, somebody knows it. Anyway,
he
said we're supposed to tell the time. Oh, that's right. Okay, so the time is 6:36. And what was that temperature? Oh, yeah, it's 43 degrees.
By the way,
did the weather.
I want to talk about Don.
Yeah.
Don Kalugan, Wild Rose. He says, Catherine Lake, morning DJ.
For God's sakes.
Soothing female intelligence.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to stop talking now.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Don.
Oh, what?
No,
now she's frozen. Frozen up. All right, we got to continue
get
the show
him.
Here. As much as Gordy would like to help us and do the show for us from his home, you know, show up next time.
From his tent in Chicago's Grant Park.
Yes. We've got Tim Slecker here from Busted Pencils. Welcome.
Yeah, man.
Dr. Tim.
And a special, you know, Catherine
oh, for God's
here.
Sakes.
I mean, you know, there is no morning Thursday appearance of Tim Slecker on the John and Gordy show without Catherine Lake.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I mean, I'm serious. She is the one person who actually saw something in Busted Pencils and was like, I need you guys to do more with civic media. And so there, I am so happy to see Catherine here because there is no Busted Pencils without Catherine Lake.
Well, there's no Busted Pencils without Tim and Johnny, of course, too. Johnny Lupinacci, your partner in crime. Yeah. And you guys are not just, you know, advocates for teachers. You are teachers, and you teach teachers. You're a doctor of education,
well,
for goodness sakes.
They've got a slogan.
They do?
Yeah.
What is it?
We're educated. Educators talking. Education.
See, there it is.
I just love that.
Yes.
I just love when you guys say that.
You know.
Well, you know, you're talking to some big book publishers here now, Tim, so...
For God's sake.
Keep that under wraps for a little bit, you
okay,
know.
Okay, all right.
We'll bring that out.
All right.
You were saying, I mean, yeah, great show yesterday that dropped.
Yes, absolutely.
Really want to, yeah. Mike Bigley, Western Rural Wisconsin, the group Liftoffs. We have had a few representatives from them on the show talking different times, and what they're doing in rural Wisconsin is just something that every public school should be looking at, because this is one of those places where they say, well, that would never happen here. You know, rural schools underfunded, all of the, you know, rural schools, you know, well, actually, you know, might be in the market for, you know, a book on writing cursive or something like that. But we get back to that. I mean, they're fully engaged with AI, working with Ashley Furniture up there.
Yes.
You know, looking at apprenticeships and really digging deep into the student engagement issue. And they've done something remarkable, which is we're going to break down the structures of traditional schooling, which we all know, everybody points out and says, you know, I wish school wasn't so darn boring.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we sit in rows? Why do we do? And Mike Bigley and his team at Liftoffs, they're pushing the boundaries on that. And though I think what you were, John, concerned about, though, he recently was in China.
Yes.
As a guest of Ashley Furniture to see what's happening there. And boy, there's a lot happening in China.
They're way beyond the U.S. at this point.
Oh, boy.
It's just shocking stuff. 700,000 smart robotic companies are in China. 700,000. The U.S., according to Mike Bigley, 600.
What?
smart robotic companies. They have 700,000. And guess what? They're training their children.
Okay, so come on, Dr. Tim, help us, me out. Is this a
well, I mean, so Mike will point out, you know, a lot are startups and things like that. But what he was saying is that they'll push forward on, you know, kind of saying like wanting to somehow claim the future is that, you know, China is all in. And we hear a lot about this. And we're really talking about, you know, robotics, artificial intelligence, the need for America to not lose the AI challenge that we're up against. I don't want to use the word war. I hate that word. You know, but Mike makes us go, well, crap, we may have already lost.
Yeah. Well, you know, the interesting thing that Mike brought up, I think, was the different aspects of the use of AI. We always, you know, we talk about it in the classroom, or we talk about, you know, making stuff up, or, you know, books and book covers and our websites. But there are all these other different angles to use AI for. And he brought all of that up. And it was just, you know, amazing that we're kind of focusing. Our focus is very small at this point in this country. But in China, it is expanded dramatically. Right.
It's expanded dramatically. And you know, people are saying, so he went to see a bunch of businesses. What's that have to do with education? What you just pointed out, though, John, is that all of those different uses that are being explored there, that's starting in China's education system, though, too, is embedding that knowledge for a diversified workforce within AI.
Yes.
Looking at that. And so realizing what implications would that then have on schooling is to realize that the total, you know, like, what do you want to say, plethora of different ways AI is in business, in industry, and in ways we don't even know yet the way it's going to be deployed, that commitment to entrepreneurship and creativity, which a lot of people go, China? Entrepreneurship and creativity? Mm. I thought they were communists.
Well, they do. They do tend to.
They are.
They do tend to rob us a little bit of our creativity.
Yeah.
But they are really, really capitalist.
Kinda.
It's an interesting communism.
It is.
Isn't it?
It is a very strange one, isn't it? It was just amazing too that we're kind of limited here in this country. One of the points was that they use open source programming instead of locked in certain specific programs that we use in our schools. They have open source programming, which means you can share it with anybody.
We should talk to our CEO about that. Sage Weil, who owns Civic Media, is an open source kind of guy. As far as I did my research on him when I first was applying for this job, that was one of the things that he was passionate about, I believe. I'm putting words totally in his mouth. But open source is a good thing, is it not?
I
don't know. That's where, Sage being on would be great because my limited understanding from that standpoint, though, is that actually when we're talking about education and AI and those things that open source can create some problems with, danger and data sharing and things like that, that we're trying to put in schools, lots of guardrails around our kids. And that's not a bad thing to be thinking about. That.
Oh, yeah. So, some guardrails. Yep.
Yeah, and again, the data that goes out there, we see this, so a school district makes a commitment with an AI provider or something like that. The question is, so when a kid starts typing into, a school portal that deals with AI, what's happening to that data that the kids are putting in to that AI? And, some places will give you it should be okay, but I see more and more companies actually stepping up and saying, like, look, what we're going to do is you'll have access to AI, but it'll be with an enclosed type of guarded system that the data and the usage will stay kind of in this school district bubble. Is that then limiting our students because they're not in an open source? Good question.
Yeah, this is a good
question. I think though what Mike and I think the statistics he brings back are a bit frightening.
Yes.
But back to the school issue is that, he's out there as a superintendent of a school district, in Wisconsin. And seeing the educational implications and really coming back. And this is where, hats off, lots of awesomeness is to point out that they're going and bringing back to rural Wisconsin cutting edge, not just the technology, but cutting edge ways of educating the kids up there. That really pushes us in a direction that kind of says, wait, they've moved. And we contrasted that. We had interviewed the head of the Alpha School, 2-Hour Learning, from Austin, Texas, and what they were doing for $40,000 a year tuition and wondering, like, why does it always have to be so much money for something like that? And, Mike Bigley and what they're doing up there is that at a public school system, they're kind of creating their own sense of Alpha School, which is digging deep into engagement and using AI tools to actually move kids into those critical thinking areas and not spending inordinate, wasteful time on lecturing kids about knowledge and actually giving them access to knowledge and putting them in critical thinking, problem solving situations and just blowing up the school day. And that's why we really want to continue to focus a lot of the work that we're, you know, Busted Pencils, the liftoffs team, because, you know, what a model for Wisconsin to be thinking about. You know, everybody's cutting edge, where's cutting edge happening? Well, hey, right there, rural Wisconsin, CSUN number 4 is the area. Man, you know, and I put this out there for everybody on Civic Media, all the hosts, start bringing some of these people from liftoffs on to talk about what they're doing up there, because it's great stuff.
It really does sound great, and everybody should check yesterday's podcast. And I big thumbs up to Ashley Furniture, too, for doing something like this with the community.
Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils is with us. I'm Catherine, in with John Peterson, but in for Gordy, who is still in Chicago in a tent in Grant Park protesting.
That's right, yes. Yep.
He's glamping.
Yeah, he's glamping. You stick around for a minute, Tim?
Yeah.
Oh, we gotta definitely come back. We've got much more.
Okay.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We're fighting that. We're trying to change that.
We embody that.
WMDX 92.7. You know, we're working on it here on the show, but every once in a while we do sound kind of stupid because we've got idiocracy all the time
here. We
have
it.
But anyway, we're talking to Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils right now, and we were also talking about liftoffs and Mike Bigley, who recently went to China. But he also had a great lesson for us as well, and I think that is, and this is a great message for Gen Z, and that is learning. They're actually teaching the passion of learning, but relearning is one of the big things they're focusing on as well, right?
Yeah, right. Well, you know, because it's like school, you know, is preparation for jobs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you typically say, what are the jobs then that kids are going to occupy? And you prepare them for those jobs. Well, you know, we've always known that, you know, when you're talking about a kindergartner who's 12 years away, maybe 15 to 18 years away from working, that was never really a good way.
No.
Most of those jobs disappeared. Hmm. Well, now the reality is that, you know, the jobs of today truly are, some of them are gone truly tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so how does an education system prepare? Well, you have to prepare people for a work positioning that is going to be constantly changing. And with that then is a commitment to learning how to learn. And John, what you pointed out, what Mike says, this commitment to relearning, which really says, hey, guess what? In the future, the most prepared people are going to be those ones who are capable of learning things again, over and in new ways to be ready. And so being adaptable and committed to realizing that, you know, the future is going to be exciting, unknown. And the last thing you want to do is kind of get situated in the, I know what I need to know now and I'm good.
That's like the radio business, for goodness sakes. We're all digital now and we're all over the
we're
state.
We're relearning this business
right now as we speak.
Like Mike provided, he said that everybody right now basically has 27 relearns. That's the current rate, right?
Yeah.
27 now. I don't know where they came up with the number, but that's a fantastic number. But it's going to even get worse or bigger. The number will get bigger in the future as well. So, it's kind of interesting.
I was thinking, though, too. I mean, you know, talking about relearning and the implications. I mean, who knew?
Yes.
That John and Gordy
could
become children's authors.
Are you kidding me?
And illustrators. I mean, you must have relearned
Yeah,
something.
That's right. Yeah, I was learning AI, and it was yeah, it was Gemini, and I accidentally tripped into Gemini 2.5, I think. And it came up with a book. Let's play a little piece of the John and Gordy. Let's go back to cursive handbook.
You have a commercial?
Wow.
You know, okay, all right. Yeah, I, you know, the best picture I think in that book was where he was writing the E on the board, where it all connected. It was just beautiful.
It was just like a wave of ease across the blackboard. I think this is great because, you know, it. You say you stumbled into it.
I did. Yeah.
But you know, the ability to put together something like that, and you know, if somehow if you Civic Media could make a link to the book, it'd be funny because it's not bad. And you know what you guys are trying to do. So you had a concept, you had an idea, talking about cursive writing and situating it. And, you know, it wasn't like it was just AI. You had an AI, an idea.
An assistant.
An assistant.
You know, and you get to explore the potential of going, okay, what would happen? And I think it's cool and fun that you did that.
AI needs a little help with their images and how they portray people. John and Gordy look like, I don't know, actors from Hollywood on this thing. Do you want to take 1 second to let Mark has called in, has been very patient, sitting on the phone with us for at least 20 minutes. Mark, you got a minute here. How are you?
Yeah, thank you so much. As far as looking to China for innovation, I mean, China was innovating ideas centuries before the West was. I mean, I guess the self-cleaning plow was one of them.
That's right.
You know, printing. But looking to other nations is for thought. I mean, Hamilton in one of his Federalist Papers on the judiciary said, this is before you knew what you know much about Japan at all, is that we could turn to Japan for judicial ideas for a Supreme Court to discuss. I mean, that... And the only problem, I hear you saying critical thinking, I wonder if we need to come up with another phrase for that, because otherwise we're going to freak out the MAGA, say, because that sounds too close to critical race theory, because critical thinking.
There you go.
Good thoughts, Mark. Thank you so much for the call. 608-879-TALK, 8255.
Well, we have a link to John and Gurney's Let's Go Back to Cursive mistake that we made. You know, we jump on bandwagons every once in a while, and it's the wrong one.
Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. Hear them on Saturdays. Thanks, Dr. Tim.
Hey, appreciate it. And I'm going to go out and roll with my ease.
It's so easy, and it's so nice. Cool. All right, we'll talk to you later.
John and Gordy.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.